only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
OMG, it's another episode of Taking It Personally. So excited to be joined by former AG guest co-host, current tip co-host, because we've just got all the tippers united for this deep dive app. So welcome back to Taking It Personally, host, writer, and producer, whose previous credits include Spotify, Decider, and yes, as she said, Wild Opinions on this very podcast, Leah Palmieri. Welcome back to Taking It Personally, Leah P. Ooh, I don't like that. Leah.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Happy to be here for just the tip.
Oh, just the tip. Wow. And so that worked for that really. Summer house conversation. But also the VPR after show sort of ending at a point with Brittany and Lala talking about Schwartz having a pencil dick was not something I ever wanted to think about.
No,
when it
but
came
did
to
you
Schwartz.
Disagree?
No, I'm sure they're right. But like, I just don't want to think about that. Right. He's just for better and worse. I don't think of him as a sexual being.
Oh, yeah, no.
But also he uses that to his benefit when he's trying to deny that he fucks Joe. And
or
that's
when he's
not great.
Trying to not remember if he tried to make out with Sheena.
Okay, so this is going to be an episode about all things Vanderpump Rules. So before we dive in it, I am curious, because you have, through your time as a writer girl, as a host, as someone in the media world, the media community, you've interviewed and watched a lot of Bravo content. And so we just recorded this, phenomenal talking about all things Summer House, both like really engaged. Obviously, you have thoughts and feels about VPR. You haven't been as up to date with Housewives. I'm curious about your connection as a Bravo-holic, if you still self-identify as a Bravo-holic, and your connection to Housewives franchises versus the ways that you're watching and enjoying VPR and Summer House.
Interesting. I have a little bit of a different history with Vanderpump Rules that I didn't know that if you knew or not, but I'll take it back to 2013.
Wow, I was just born.
Yeah, I know.
No, wait, I was 10.
You were like alive, but like just barely walking.
No. Yeah. I just had my bat mitzvah. I just remember the year. Yeah. What year was it? 2010?
2013. The show premiered, I believe, in either very late 2012 or very
early 2013.
That's how
I learned to walk. I was walking to the TV being like, more Jax.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the time, I was working at OK Magazine.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was launching their, you'll enjoy this too. Launching their, literally, they didn't have video until I got there. And then I was doing video content for them. And actually, one that we did is like just recently gone viral. Have you seen the Big Ange, What's in My Purse video?
No, but I want to. Her voice is so soothing. May her memory be a blessing.
Truly,
Big Ange.
It is living on through this video. You can
the
like,
Angel of
Google
Mob
it.
Lives. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm gonna
it's
watch
her.
That.
We did this, you know, it's not a brand new thing. Mm. But we did a What's in My Purse with her, and of course it was a gem. And it's like been making the rounds on the internet lately, and I'm like, this is so wild, like that we did this video so long ago and like people are just now discovering it. My favorite one that we ever did though was Teresa. Of course. She came with her purse.
Judice?
Yeah.
Okay.
She came
I
with
was
a
like,
purse.
Caputo? Who
no,
are we talking
yeah,
about?
No, okay. No. She came with her purse, walked us through every MAC product that she had in the purse,
God,
which
I
was
love
like
her
several
so
powders,
much.
Several yes. lipsticks, and then looks up at the camera and goes, and I forgot my wallet and keys today. It was just like amazing because it's like the only things you needed in your purse you don't even have. But anyway, so.
I have a lot with Teresa where I'm like, we're not on the same page, but that's the Teresa that I love.
That's
the Teresa.
I'll never be on that page, but I'm so glad she is.
Ugh, we need someone who doesn't
we need
have
that
her
page
wallet
in
and
the
their
book.
Keys. Yeah, I love that. I love that energy. So, how did she get there if she didn't have her keys?
Someone
drove her.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure came in a car.
Okay, gotta.
I'm sure somebody at home was there to let her in.
Just a different life. A different life.
Truly, a completely different lifestyle than I will ever have. And so... In the spring of 2013, they did what was like the original BravoCon, and it was a blue carpet because like the logo was blue at the time, and they did it upfront basically for Bravo. So it was every Bravo celebrity, like all of them in the same room. And
this was when? Tell me.
2013.
Okay. You told me 18 times. It was 2013. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Because I was so young at the time. I was like, where was my young adult's development? Yeah. Okay, great. Young child, mid-child. Got it.
Plus. Yep. So we had done a couple of shoots with some Vanderpump people. And so at the time, the ones that they were trotting out were Jackson Sandoval and Stassi and Sheena were together. So those were the ones that I had met at this point. I wasn't really like keeping up with the show, but I was keeping enough of an eye on it to be able to produce these videos. Mm-hmm. And so do the blue carpet. And so somebody comes up to me, which I didn't really realize what was happening, but it was Katie. And she was like, are you Leah? And I was like, oh God, did I write something snarky about this show? And like, she's going to call me out on it. And I got like kind of nervous. And she was like, oh my God, we love you. And I was like, what? And so I had in my previous life worked at SiriusXM on a show called Cocktails with Patrick. And
who's Patrick?
Your brow is furrowed. Well, this will come back around.
Okay.
And so anyway, Katie and I started talking about how they were obsessed with the show. Her, Stassi, Jax, like they all used to listen to this radio show that was on Sirius. And I was like, what? Like, this is so weird that you know who I am. And I didn't really know who she was at the time. But we exchanged numbers. And a couple months later, a month later, I don't know, a little while later, she texted me and was like, we should set up Stassi and Patrick. And
not that Patrick.
I politely declined this invitation. It was not in my, it wasn't for me to do that. But fate works in mysterious ways, obviously.
Leah, and so, no, not that Patrick. I was trying to think of a Patrick as a celebrity. I was like, can't think of a single one. Like, no. Yeah.
So it was a very weird introduction into how I sort of knew,
knew
who I was. Yeah.
So how did you feel? Did you watch Vanderpump? Was that sort of the turning point for you? And like, I'm going to watch every episode now when Stassi and Patrick started to date?
No, I had been watching it previous to that.
Okay.
But when that was a thing on the show, I also watched just to see. And it gave me a renewed sense of maybe reality TV is real.
So
it was interesting to watch.
How did you feel and how did he feel about his portrayal on the show?
We are no longer
in contact.
I assume that is the current status
of affairs with anyone who's ever interacted with that man.
So I couldn't tell you how he feels. You know, at the time, like the pairing of the two of them made sense. I could see it. But we all.
And this was in New York.
When I first met Katie and Stassi and all of them.
When you were working at Sirius, was that based in, because that was the whole thing, is like Stassi went to New York,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. So
like
I worked with him from like 2009 to 2012, early 2012.
So he sucks, right? It doesn't matter. You don't work for him anymore. You didn't sign an NDA. It's okay. It would be different if he was a celebrity that like maybe people knew, I mean, LOL and celebrity, but like someone famous who people knew behind the scenes was an asshole, but he was on television being an asshole. So I don't think that is surprising.
It wasn't an inaccurate portrayal is what I will say. Like, okay. It was, you know, some people will say like he got a bad edit. I will just say this though, is that in the time that I worked with him, like we had some amazing shows. Like we really had a great thing going for a long time. And so I was sad, and I still hear from people that listen to that show, and it makes me so happy when I do, that it was a thing that like mattered to people, and people enjoyed listening and related and got something from it. And he could be a great host, and I think still is. And so I do try to look back on that time fondly.
And it was, the name of it was Cocktails?
Cocktails with Patrick. It was on Cosmo Radio.
I thought like he Cosmo was a sports.
Magazine. He is now. But at the time, he
was like a radio personality. Mm-hmm. And the fun of it was that he was
a guy in the Cosmo world, sort of like saying things from the male perspective.
Oh, my God. I would 100% listen to a show.
Oh,
like
you would have loved it. You would have loved it. Yeah, you would have loved it. We had a lot of fun.
And so you were his co-host
and producer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So when he starts dating Stassi, how are we feeling about all of that at that point? at that point in time?
I mean, we were no longer working together. That was way after. But like, Jill Zarin knew who we were too. Like, she used to listen all the time, and I didn't watch Housewives at that point. And so I was like, what? Like, who is this? And she was like, I'm obsessed with your show. I was like, what? So she called in. Yeah, it was a weird. Yeah, it was a. It was.
Can
a really
I listen
interesting
to
time.
Those episodes? No, are they still
goodness.
In the archive?
No, thank
How
goodness.
Do I listen to it? This isn't fair. I want to go back.
I really hope there's no way for anyone to ever listen to those episodes.
But it sounds like
God
it was a
knows.
Big deal.
It was a really weird. Like, it was. Twitter had just started. There was no Instagram Whoa. Or anything yet. So it was sort of like in a weird pre-social media time, which is good in a lot of ways. And yeah. So anyway, I will say this, that since then, the Vanderpump Rules cast has always been very nice to me.
Do they remember that interaction? Do you think?
Katie and Stassi do. I think those are, yeah, I mean, I don't know if Jax remembers anything.
No.
But Katie and Stassi,
he doesn't remember his wife. I mean, come on. He's not going to remember a radio show from 11 years ago.
I've still, crossed paths and interviewed them. And
how many years ago? What year was it? I'm still saying.
2013.
Yeah, I was right.
Yeah, so it was a different lifetime. Okay. But when I was at Decider, I did interviews and stuff with them for sure. And also have a separate special place in my heart for them as well.
I mean, it's so interesting because there are so many, you see this in the creator worlds and other worlds where there's this idea of like, I'm a nice guy, I'm straight, but I'm a nice guy, and the reward of that, but there's so often other stuff going on. The nice thing with Patrick is that he was always a dick. So that I actually appreciate. It's like, we're not pretending that we're a better person than we are. We're not cosplay. We are not dick play. We are asshole. It's like but I'm sure he doesn't see that. I'm sure he thinks he's the shit. But at least for me as a viewer, I never got the sense, just in hearing about him or whatever limited stuff we kind of got at points, that he was like a good guy. He just seemed like an obnoxious kind of prick. I appreciate that.
Oh.
I love how uncomfortable you are.
Well,
how uncomfortable actually are you? I don't think you're that uncomfortable.
No, I'm not uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What? Okay. How come you were satisfied in seeing somebody like be an ass in that regard versus what we always come back to, which is like the Austins of the world? Where I don't feel like you watch him with glee being an ass.
Austin is often rewarded for being a good guy and gets away with bad behavior. Patrick always came into the scene and was an asshole. Mm. So I'm not pretending that he's a better guy than he is. He might be, and he's, I'm sure, rewarded for it in his real time, and for skills that probably might not involve being potentially a good person. That's probably just a bonus he has chosen not to, internally receive. Mm. With Austin, it's like, why are we praising someone who's behaving poorly?
Okay.
I never praised Patrick and was like, he's such a great guy. I was just like, oh, he's an asshole and we all see it. And who among us hasn't dated an asshole? Who among us hasn't sometimes been the asshole?
I appreciate his time on the show in the scope of Vanderpump Rules because Beau was right after. And so I think it gave us a bigger... even like appreciation for somebody like Beau, who seems to have deserved the appreciation anyway. So like, I think that is, it's a very like, it's darkest before the sun or whatever kind of cliche you want to throw at that. But yeah.
That's wild. When you said Patrick and I was like, it didn't occur to me.
I know, but
me.
We you know that you don't remember people's names.
I really don't, as we, from the Summer House episode. But in real time, the like, no, not.
Yeah.
Wow. That is.
Many different media lives. And I'm happy to be living this one with you here today.
That's just so fascinating. Also, the idea of, and this, again, doesn't apply to Patrick or Austin, honestly. Well, I'm going to choose not to, but like the good guy of it all. I think that's sort of the reckoning that some people have come to terms with and some people have not. And maybe Sandoval is trying to convince us we shouldn't be even having this talk, but like the idea of who is perceived as good on a show like Vanderpump Rules, where the fun is that almost everyone is bad.
Well, I think you're definitely a good guy as long as you do breath work.
And when I was watching that, because I watched Summer House and VPR this morning and then the after shows this morning, I just was so uncomfortable. Not in a way where I was like, oh my God, I'm like really upset, but just I don't ever. It was one of those moments where I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't ever want to think about Tom Sandoval ever having sex.
Breathing? Oh.
Because he was having, I was appreciative of Lala being like, oh, he's like having some sort of upset orgasm or something right now. And I went to school for theater. We had to do the chakras. I had to do the sexual chakra. And it was horrible because I was a freshman in college, very much clenched, did not want to be. I was really, really upset because I was like, I don't want to be doing this in a room with other people. Yeah. But you just for the training of it all and everything else, you had to be able to open yourself up. Mm. I don't ever. Sandoval's not going to BFA in anything but being a dick. So it's like, I don't want to ever see that ever again.
Yeah, I've done the breathwork stuff too. In no way to what we witnessed. And I would like to nominate that scene for the worst one I've ever seen on Vanderpump Rules, I would say.
Well, and it also like wasn't positioned as being a sexual chakra. It was like positioned as it being some sort of a release. But then I was actually thinking from a breathwork perspective, like I think it was just because the noises didn't match the action for me. And I was like, what is the action? It was too sexual. It was too sexual.
It was just gross.
It was gross, but Tom is gross, and the positioning, I guess, of this season is like, Tom's not that gross.
Yeah, it was like trying to be like, I'm working on myself, but it's like, I'm sorry. I'm all for working on yourself, as we know, and if breathwork is the way to do that, fine, but you screaming is not redeeming.
Well, also, when has Vanderpump Rules ever in the history of television arts and sciences, in the words of Dame Brian Moylan, when has Vanderpump Rules ever been about someone working on themselves? That's usually used in support of a person's poor behavior when they're like, but I'm working on myself. I think, when someone betters themselves, like we've seen with Lala, we've seen with James at previous points, he's in a little bit of a cycle, but like, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like, oh, this is a refreshing thing. It feels like the show structure is now based on people believing Tom is working on himself in a way that's like very weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, yeah, you're going to have to do more than lie on the floor and scream for me to think this is a person who is learning anything, is growing, is trying. Like, I think he's frustrated, we're frustrated. Like, I just think the whole thing is, it would be a very interesting thing if he, I mean, he is, but if he really leaned into the, this is who I am, man.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Instead of like the pretending, I've redeemed myself, I've put my tail between my legs. Like, instead of pretending he's doing that.
It just feels so deeply artificial, but other people aren't necessarily treating it like that. Or maybe they are, but they're just giving him so many chances to continue this artifice.
Well, the other thing you have to think about if you're the Sheenas and the Lalas of the world is like, okay, you're going to have to film with him. So do you want to show up every single time being the silent, bitter bitch? Like, and I'm not saying that they are, but like you'll come across like that.
Yeah, that's
if
how
you
the,
don't.
Yeah. God
if you
forbid
don't,
women
yeah.
held. Yeah, yeah.
If you don't at least have a little bit of space for him in your life or in this friend group or in this situation. So it's sort of like for them, it's just easier or less exhausting to like put up with him being at the table rather than having to sit there, because we see it in the interaction with him. Hi, my lawyer sent you an email. Like him, I sent you an email about the house, and like with Ariana just staring straight ahead and not looking at him, that's like not an interaction. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, what do we do with this? So the other girls or even guys have to do something if he's going to be around.
Yeah, the disconnect here is that people are taking him at his word and embracing his reality as the reality. And no one's really doing that with Ariana, let alone Ariana and Katie. And that to me, it's not even like, as a stand, I feel blah, 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 blah. It just is not, it just feels like confusing television that this person who we just found was involved in this, frankly, conspiracy to fuck the good friend of his partner of a decade. And we're now deciding that his defense like sets the reality and sets the tone. And I just don't understand why production made that decision as the way to move the story forward, that Tom is the one that gets all the grace. Like, why? And also, if you were just a part of this whole thing that exposed your behavior as being a big fucking liar, at every point when someone pushes back, he's always given the benefit of the doubt. Why? Based on what?
Dramatic television.
Because if it was like, if it was how production was able to get him to sign on, LOL, like he was going anywhere. He's getting paid.
Went to New Zealand.
Right.
He was going somewhere.
He was figuring out ways, you know, I don't know what his money situation is like right now. I'm guessing pretty, you know, not great. How's it doing? Not well, bitch. Like, I'm sure it's.
Yeah. Well, he's paying the mortgage himself.
God forbid, for 10 months. What a mess for him, as opposed to the tens of thousands of dollars he spent on that tour and everything else, God forbid. And it's not like he's not going to get it back. He keeps talking about it like Ariana's taking money from him. When they settle the sale or whatever else, I am sure a part of that, she's not, I'm sure, unaware of the fact that she's going to need to, that's going to be taken out of however the settlement is posed. I just don't understand why this show is reacting to audience upset against him by saying now he's the one that deserves all of this, instead of it being a little bit more even with whatever the fuck Ariana is going through and dealing with. It's like Ariana's only used right now as a vessel to react to him, but it's so much of the time and energy is built around him. But Ariana's also in this friend circle.
With Rachel not coming back, somebody had to come back to sort of answer for this. And so it was going to be him. So like they're thinking, well, we have to have him back.
We want him back.
Yeah. How do we do this? And I think they probably, I mean, I'm not saying they like promised him like, we'll go easy on you, but like they probably had to be like, happy Easter. We're not going to nail you to a cross kind of thing. Like, I don't know. Like, I think there had to be some sort of, we'll try to be fair to you, even though he don't deserve that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was going to say, what's in it for him? Obviously the money and the
fame and the attention and the continuation of him.
So desperately needs. Yeah.
I get that. But I also think, like, why does it have to come at the cost of people being a little bit more critical than I would have expected about Ariana's reaction to a lot of this? Like, it comes across, the edit is done in such a way that it's not like going to a confessional that is some sort of like Ariana sharing vulnerability. It's going to these one-liner moments. He's getting a lot more space, and it's not respect. It's just like the production is expecting us to listen to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not getting that with Ariana. You could do both. It's just so uneven, which is weird because who is the person who was most aggrieved in all of this? I would understand them from a strategic perspective being like, well, Ariana got so much attention in the media. This needs to be new content. I don't agree with it, but I could understand them being like, this is a storyline that you haven't seen yet. But it doesn't explain why, like, her feelings, it feels like, are showing that on TV. It's from a time perspective being sacrificed so that he takes up all the air in the room. But it's just, it's not good air.
There's less tension with Ariana because she's,
that's a good point,
an adjusted human, somewhat.
And she's mad
compared to him.
She's not walking back or mad. She's like, I'm mad and there's no nuance here. That's a really good point.
Where she's living her life. I think she's feeling happy with her new relationship and her new opportunities and her friends to, I mean, Katie, I should say, because I think the other ones are, I don't know. And so I think there's a levity to her, whereas he's over here screaming on the floor. So like, even if that's not good television, he's still giving them more than like Ariana's getting on with her life, or trying to at least. And he can't, because he has to sit in this longer, because some people are going to make him. He has to be reminded for a little bit longer.
I feel like I dislike him more now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we're seeing him probably more accurately now.
And it just feels like when he's interacting, there was a moment. I mean, I did think Ariana, it's like with the whole you deserve to be with someone more than this like 41-year-old or whatever. I was like, okay, like where, you know, this person is making a choice to be with him on TV or whatever. I'm sure this woman has an understanding of who he is. But I also appreciate, like, there's a little bit of like, but you want to make sure this person knows. I get that, but it's also so glaringly obvious who he is. So that to me, I was like, there's like a little moment here, but he's just this, it's not lecherous. It's just this kind of like, he slimy. Gives me such slimy loser energy. Mm-hmm. And him pretending he's like dating for the very first time. He's been fucking a lot of people for a while. Mm-hmm. So the idea that now we're introducing romance or something into that, the kind of people who are going to be attracted with the playing, dating Tom on TV are not going to bring anything to me, because we have enough garbage people. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the Valley is giving us the next generation of that. So it's like, I don't need to see, it's just, it's making me feel a little uncomfortable, because I'm like, oh, he's just gross.
Yeah. Icky. Real icky. But that's the tension. Where we're seeing how literally everybody, he is the like cog in the middle of the wheel. Do you know what I mean? And it's every other spoke is kind of just the way that they're reacting to him, whether they're accepting him, whether they're not. Like it's that he's still the focal point because of the absolute earthquake that he sent through this friend group.
Here's my issue. It feels like the tension is not as much with him in the cast. It's with him and us. And I don't think that's a great dynamic for a reality TV show. I don't think we should be as much of a part of this as I feel like we are, which
fair.
Isn't yeah, a him fair. Thing. That's a production editing thing. And I sound like I'm like complaining about this season. I really don't mean to. Yeah. I don't mean to for this to sound like I'm like hating this season. I really don't. It's just it's uneven in a way that I'm like, but we know he sucks. So it's like, why are we pretending that we're going to go back to fun? I guess we could. He's just so slimy. He's just a slime ball.
I think that the show has done this cycle a lot of times, where they've done the cycle where people don't get along, whether it's Stassi and Gina and Katie and whoever, and Jack, certainly. And then there's a redemption and then they're friends again. And I think Katie has kind of talked about this too, where it's like, in my 20s, that was maybe a thing for me where like yeah. I had a falling out and then a reconnection or whatever. And now she's like, in my 30s, that's not a thing I am interested in doing. And it's something that this show knows so well. So I think they're trying to see if they can recreate that with him. However, you know, Jackson Kristen hooking up is not the same as Tom and Rachel hooking up in the way that they did. So this is a different level. So this is going to be harder to come back from. Do we even want to put in the effort to try to do that both with this cast and with the audience? And my feeling of this is I don't need him on next season. Like I'm fine to see the dynamic of like who is going to give him another shot, who wants to, who feels pressure to, who just sort of like accepts that he's around without indulging, and who is going to fully stand their ground and be like, I don't want to be in the presence of this person. And I do find that to be interesting for a couple of episodes, but not for an entire season.
I don't want him to leave. I'm not saying
what else is he going to do, though?
I think they should just treat him more like Jax, of like, instead of seeing that this is a breakthrough and he's going to learn, just be more honest. Like, Jax is manipulative. It's like the Ramona apologizer. Like, this person is going to apologize. Why are we giving him so much of the benefit of the doubt? Just be like, it's Ramona. Mm-hmm. I would be fine with him staying. I still think he's like needed on the show if we're working on the core group and we've had some people who've worked out since. Like, but at its core, I don't know. I mean,
what's he bringing?
Well, for the show, he's bringing the core of this season, which, again, I would argue is not great. But if I don't know.
What's he bringing next season? What do we do? Are we still rehashing this? Are we still like, what are we doing?
He could be bringing his same behavior, but just people would be more, I think people ideally are more honest, which doesn't mean that you have to say he's the worst person in the world. Just treat him like Jax. He's more like Jax than he isn't. Yeah. And we still haven't gotten to that point because it's only good or evil. And like,
or
Jax.
We let him keep the house and we throw him on the valley, but we take him off Vanderpump Rules.
Tom Sandoval would be terrible on the Valley. The Valley
I'm just saying, we keep Vanderpump Rules
and
pure.
Couples and like, no, I wouldn't soil the Valley, which is actually, and there we have Jesse to contend with. There's a lot going on in the Valley. We don't have any extra space. There's no room. The Valley is full.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I wouldn't want to do that to Kristen either.
No, she's got a lot she's got to work through right now. It's
we don't need to
tough.
Throw him in. I'm just saying, how do we keep Vanderpump Rules in a way where I don't have to listen to him yelling?
Purity on Vanderpump Rules is kind of an LOL.
Well, I know.
The whole point of it is that it's dirty AF, which is why are we doing this purity tour? It's like, you know, we're talking about on Summer House, we're talking about a diamond ring. It's like Tom Sandoval is like pretending he's wearing a purity one. Like, it's just what's happened. Again, it's not to say that he's a cartoon villain, but he is a piece of shit. So you can say that without being like, I'm going to villainize you. Why aren't we saying that he's closer to Jax than he's not?
Yeah. But the other thing in thinking about Vanderpump Rules through the Summer House lens, like, where's the Jesse Solomon in the West? Like, we need some new blood, I think, on Vanderpump Rules. And that I really like Allie. I think Allie is bringing something to it. But like, we haven't had other new blood. Oh no, I can't get into her yet. But like, we haven't had other new blood. When's the last time we really had a new person get in the group? I mean, are we counting Brock? I mean, Lala is kind of the last infiltration. So like, and at first it was unclear if this was a good move or not.
I was not a fan of her.
And now it's like, okay, we get it. They saw something that I would say I wasn't seeing at the time, but yeah.
Well, that's the difficulty with Vanderpump Rules. I think it's one of the hardest shows to cast because these people genuinely are friends. And so you add someone to the mix, like James came in because he was shipping Kristen because he sort of, I think, did that kind of to get on the show. I don't know that I think maybe he liked her, hopefully, right, at some point, but I also think it was and he was going to move in with Sandoval, so maybe that would have happened anyway until he and Kristen started to hook up or whatever the arrangement was. I forget which figures were on that chessboard at that point, but it's hard to get in unless you're dating someone on the show.
Okay,
and so there are only so many people available to date.
So I think we've seen clear as day, the only new cast members have been people that are dating cast members. So Rachel and whatever. So that's how they get on the show, by dating people. And is that their goal, to just be on the show? Or do they actually like this person and do they want to date them? I know there's been some online chatter of the alley of it all, that is she only with James to get on the show?
I don't care.
And that's what I was going to say, is like, I do think there's some people, like probably the Rachels of the world, who date these people just to get on the show. And for some people, I'm like, ugh, gross. And for other people, Allie, I'm like, fine.
Whatever you need to do.
Because Allie, they back it up when they get there.
Yeah. And also, like, I feel like Allie has a good head on her shoulders. And this is the thing of, like, God forbid someone is dating someone because they also want to be famous. This is the difficulty. But like, people date people for a variety of reasons that feel superficial. And, you know, that's, you know, I'm not the person in the relationship who has to contend with, like, do you really like me, or do you like me when there's a camera crew here? I don't know how you figure that out in LA, by the way, where like, fame is at the core of so much potential tension when it comes to success, where it's like, at least someone is seeing me. And there's, I guess, an argument to be made about that. Sure, why not? And it's a career, and it's fame and celebrity and all of that, to a certain extent, can't be bought. It's why you see a lot of wealthy women on Housewives, because the one thing that they don't have is that specific kind of television fame. It's not, you know, being in the you know, Sunday Styles. This is like a different kind of machine and a different valuation than even a decade ago or whenever VPR began. And with Allie, I'm like, she seems like a good egg, got a good head on her shoulders, whatever.
She doesn't annoy me.
She does, certainly not. Yeah. I feel bad for her that they're making her film with Joe, where she's the one who's got to be like, yeah, she's okay, or we're trying to make this work, but like, I don't know you, and I also don't want to piss off the other people who I'm probably friends with.
And I mean, this is the exact black and white of this, where an argument can be made that both of those women are dating or associated with men on the show to get on it specifically.
Joe is, I don't think Joe's dating. Well, according to Schwartz, they've...
Joe has been circling this group, though, whether she's friends with Kristen or whatever. Yes. So clearly... it's not a big leap to say she's probably hanging around these people because she wants to be on the show. I don't think that's a big leap.
Sure. And also, she's just an energy I don't like seeing on the show. She makes me a little uncomfortable.
Why?
She's Leah's giving me.
Here's my problem with this most recent episode. I'm not saying they didn't, but I didn't see the women bullying her. No. I didn't see that group of women bullying her. I saw them talking across the room. Maybe they were glancing at her. Maybe it was clear it was about her. Whatever.
They weren't being that like, was Sheena, and how are you today? Being passive aggressive.
Yeah, but it wasn't like they were bullying her. And then for her to just all of a sudden be bursting into tears about them being bullying her, and also other people saying like, these women can be brutal. And I was like, well, did I miss the scene where they were brutal to her? Like, what happened that like, I'm not saying it didn't, but I didn't see it.
Listen. There's an argument to be made about who you're like fucking with on social when it comes to, you know, the followers that Katie has versus the followers that Joe does. But also, there are going to be consequences if you were actually actively involved in covering up an affair. And then you're trying to reach out the night that it's dropping and being like, oh, my God, I feel so bad for myself that I have to choose. This isn't Sophie's choice, babe. Mm-hmm. Like, first off, I don't think anybody's choosing you. And including Schwartz. So like, I don't know. I'm sure it was tough for her. I don't know. We don't know Joe at all. It just, there's something about her that makes me uncomfortable in every siren in my head is like, I would not want to be anywhere near this person. And it's not because she's a bad person. It's just, I would not trust whatever she's saying. And I don't need to think of her energy as fun.
So a thing that I've tried to think through, which is the introduction we had to Joe, was Katie saying she's a creep and I don't trust her. Yeah. And that was like sort of the first thing. So
yeah, that affects us.
Yes,
yeah, so it does.
Are we having an open mind? And does she deserve for us to have an open mind? It's sort of like, okay.
I don't want to think of her mind. I don't know. I don't think.
I don't think it's a bad general rule of thumb to say if Katie says someone's a creep, you should probably believe her because she's not really missed. She's not been wrong that many times.
Also, Schwartz is asking us to respect her more than he does.
Yeah.
And his dick has been inside of her. They have fucked each other. So it's like, why are we, it's like you, I mean, you know, those who can't do whatever. Is like he has never really had a great history of like respecting women, most especially romantic partners. So why would Joe be any different? But also him expecting his ex-wife, among other people, to respect this person more than he does. He is illustrating for people that he kind of thinks she's a little bit of a joke, which is, I bet, unfair to Joe.
Yeah. And that's what sort of all the cast has said is like, I do feel bad for her because she clearly doesn't get how uninterested in her he is. But the thing that, like, I also know people have a hard time with, and I have to agree, is him calling her Joseph is clearly meant to be, like, a term of endearment and, like, creating this, like, we're close. Know. And that's why I can call you this nickname or whatever. And it's like, I don't like that.
Is that attached to him trying to create a little bit of distance to her in how he's talking about her? Because we don't know anything about Schwartz's sexuality and sexual preferences, so I don't want to assume anything, but in making a nickname,
oh, like, that's, she's attached, my buddy,
with Joseph, my buddy, as opposed to,
probably,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know how to phrase that in
no
a way
I
that
get
feels
what you're saying
appropriate
yeah.
and respect. I just want to make very clear it's not attached to any kind of like anything, just in saying that it feels like there's some sort of, while it's a perfectly fine nickname that I have genuinely no issue with,
yes,
it is also a specific one when you think about Schwartz's other behavior with her. There's like a level of joking with her, like he's treating her like a buddy.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there.
You know
where I think
I'm
it's
saying?
A mix of the two things, which is between the two of them, him calling her Joseph is like an endearment and like, look how close we are. And then between the rest of the world, he's like, oh, that's just Joseph. That's just my friend.
Right.
So I think it's like him having his cake
for him
and eating it too.
It's not, it's just a friend. It's like, this is sort of my guy friend. But
yes.
But Joe is a woman, mm-hmm. a woman that he has slept with.
Yeah.
So there is a difference here, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's, I don't know. She's tough to watch. She's tough to watch. And then when we find out that she was actively doing these things as one would, you know, the dot, dot, dot there in that sentence is like, as did Schwartz. So we're talking about them meeting up. So it's like a, you know, double date or whatever, but like Schwartz is on that double date. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. let's not give Joe more credit in being responsible for things and avoid Schwartz in that conversation.
Yeah.
But also we're talking about Joe.
Yeah.
So why don't the women love her? I mean, it's fairly obvious why they don't.
Yeah. And also, like, what is she doing to try to be their friend? Like, she's not doing anything genuine to try to be their friend. It's very clear you're here because, like, you like Tom or you want to be around Tom or whatever. Like,
well, she might want to be their friend. Whatever she did, she went over to someone and said, like, hey, how are you? How are you today? I mean, one could argue that's not going to be received well, regardless of what she does. Because it's all about going after past behavior as being indicative of who she is in the present and future. So are you going to trust someone who's walking over seeing like, hey, nice to see you, if you maybe took her at her word with that prior to the Scandoval or finding out about the Scandoval, and now you know where that the price of some of that fun.
I'm going to give you a Sheena hypothetical.
Okay, great.
So just the way that Sheena was like, hypothetically, if Sandoval was like fine and like we were friends in like years, hypothetically, if Joe comes to the women and says, I'm no longer friends with Schwartz, I'm no longer friends with Sandoval, I am so sorry I had any part in that, and I really want to be friends with you guys instead, is there a world where they would be friends with her?
No.
Yeah.
Who would have, who, no.
Yeah.
She's just, no. And I think it's like, and also some of that might have to do with whatever her friendship with Kristen was like. Mm-hmm. It's like, if Kristen is saying this person, I don't know. And that's not meant to, you know, mock Kristen or anything in any way.
Yeah.
Just, she's not the energy here. And Schwartz is trying to push her on the rest of the women. And she just doesn't gel.
You're exactly right. And it's like, I also feel like I don't want to be the kind of person who's just like, ew, Joe, and like piling on her. But at the same time, I'm just like, oh, honey, like, you're just not it. And I want it to be very like, scurry away now. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
just, well, like, I mean, she's just not it for this circle of
friends.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. That's
like,
what I mean.
It's just not, it's just like, there's no chemistry here. Also, there's like a friend chemistry with her and Schwartz, but he's not willing to show us. If he behaves differently around her without cameras being there, and he might not, like, they do obviously understand each other really well, genuinely, but he's not like trying to show another side of her. He's just saying she is here and she is present, and kind of that's all there is.
Also, for him, you know, obviously he isn't Sandoval, but he's in a similar boat in that, like, how many friends does he have?
He has much more than Sandoval.
But do people want to be,
I think so,
his friend and around him and like a confidant in this scheme of things? I think he's probably having a hard time in his own friendships, is what I'm going to say. And I think she is somebody who was sort of there through it.
Yeah.
When it was like really murky. And so he's trusting and keeping her around and whatever that may be, in the way where a lot of his friendships have been changed.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he even got a juice with Lala was like probably a big step for both of them.
That scene, man, I get confused a little bit with Lala and the way that she's sort of speaking around the Randall of it all and like trying to learn lessons about holding on to anger. I 100% get that. That's also not everybody's choice in life. And you're, from a timing perspective, at a different point with Rand than Ariana is with Tom. But all that being said, there's like another, I don't know. It just, there's a friendliness and an interest in connecting with Tom that to me puts so much aside from his behavior. I just can't imagine.
Tom Schwartz?
No, sorry, Tom Sandoval, where I'm like, there's just something about this. If you're looking at him like a science experiment or something when it comes to like who a person is, okay, he's not just what he did. I agree. I get that. But like, who is he?
So what I'm gathering from her is she wants to live a life where, yeah, she's not holding on to anger and she's moving on and all that. And that's wonderful. And I think she means that.
Yeah, agree.
Except for Rand. She cannot. That's she's always going to have anger towards him. Always, always,
and deservedly
always.
So.
Yes, totally. But so I think that's why she's giving Sandoval more of a break, because she's like, okay, well, I'm trying to be a person who's not holding on to anger. And it's like, but she's picking and choosing where she is going to.
And also how to view another person's anger, I would argue. And maybe for her, the Rand stuff is like, I just want to feel like he doesn't exist, even though I unfortunately am going to be forced to have some sort of dynamic with him being in my life for the rest of my life because we have a child together. Versus the idea of thinking about anger, it's so hard to figure out when it crosses the line, because sometimes that's a defense mechanism of like, do not forget how this person treated you, how you felt with this person. That's your body telling you to like step the fuck back. Yeah. You don't want to be in that dynamic anymore. So we only look at anger as something that can be maybe like harmful to your spirit and core. And I don't disagree with that. But also sometimes it's your body physical, being like, don't forget your memory with this person. It's reminding you. And I think there's definitely a level of that with Ariana. Does she also hate this man? Yes, absolutely. But some of that anger is like the reminder of, because other people are choosing to maybe forget why that anger is deserved.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because, you know, Lala was annoyed with Katie and Ariana for not moving on from the Sandoval of it all. And like, he's not here. Why do you even care? And it's like, no, like we're going. It's the same as the Rand situation in that respect. We're like, he's not here. Why do you care? And it's like, you're always going to care. They're always going to care. That's just the way that it is. And like, you have to, even if you don't agree, respect that. That's the way some people are going to treat it and feel about it.
Okay, so you need to explain to me what's going on with Lala and Katie, because I'm not understanding what's happening. Lala is saying shit about her on social. It's not making sense. Katie goes on Vile Files and is like, I don't understand where this is coming from. Is it a fight that Lala is having with herself? Or because I don't get what's happening here, where Lala's anger is coming from. I need someone to help me with that.
Apparently what I'm understanding is it's something that came from the end of the reunion. So I don't know that we'll actually have anything cleared up until then, if then.
Okay.
But I believe the way that they've spoken about the reunion, it was sort of like something happens towards the end of it that was kind of like a thing. And then that's apparently I guess that was more of a straw that broke the camel's back. I think this was building between them, but like then that was like the real thing.
But I thought that was something that happens with Lala and Ariana, not Lala and Katie.
Yeah, but I think Katie and Ariana are sort of interchangeable at this point. Yeah. I mean, they're a team. So yeah. I don't know. It's also blurry to me as well. So I wish I had more facts on that. But that seems to be what we're waiting to find out about.
That seems to be what we're waiting, according to Lala. Because Katie's saying she doesn't get it, isn't she?
Yes, she is. But I think if there's going to be clarity, it's going to come from what we see on the reunion or the rest of this season. I wanted to ask you about that, too, because did you see Andy when he was on the way to the reunion being like, guys, the rest of the season is amazing. Like, do you trust that?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know that I trust it, but I think it might be true. Mm. I don't know that I trust the promotion of it, but it might be true. Because, like, I was listening to something. It was like a fucking clip of something or something. It's always a fucking clip that comes out of him heavily promoting the Noella Dr. Jen season and being like, this is like the best casting we've ever done in Orange County. And like, it's going to be incredible. And I don't remember if that was right before a premiere when he'd already seen the episodes. and he was just trying to, you know, promote mm-hmm. or if he genuinely thought that at that point. Like, I can't remember the timing with Orange County production then, but I heard that the other day and was like, oh, fuck.
I mean, I don't think like Vanderpump is in a place where it needs a ratings boost right now. Are people falling off this season? I don't think so. But at the same time, I'm also like, okay, so we're halfway through. And is the Katie Max hookup the thing that's propelling us through the rest of the season? Because I don't know that I'm intrigued enough about that to base 6 or 7 more episodes on caring about that.
I mean, I think that's more of a Max Schwartz problem. And the way that Sandoval is reacting to it, of like, she's so hypocritical. She isn't. She no. actually wanted to put those boundaries into place last season. Yeah. Schwartz refused for that to happen. He disagreed with her and he's the one who betrayed her. Was it, if she wants to remain friends with Schwartz, that would be a problem in their friendship, but she doesn't. Mm-hmm. So there's, to me, no issue. The issue is with Max and Schwartz. Like, that's the problem. So for, it's so stupid because I'm like taking Sandoval at his word to blame Katie, but obviously he has a vested interest in trying to show that Katie's a piece of shit. I was like, well, if she doesn't care about maintaining a friendship with her husband, then yeah, she's gonna maybe hook up or hang around some people from the group. If VPR is already incestual, she's just going by the framework that Schwartz had set.
So
that's a Max problem.
Another theory online too.
Okay.
That's where they live. And it said, we got to talk about this because I am fascinated to know your thoughts. If Sheena is following the location of 56 people, was Sandoval and Rachel any of those people? And did she know where they were?
Here's the problem with that, is that Sheena thought something was going on with Sandoval and Rachel. So off camera, she had a conversation with Ariana about it. Did she not? And Ariana said, I trust my boyfriend and my good friend. So it wasn't that Sheena had no idea. Sheena had suspicions and she took them to Ariana. And Ariana said, I'm going to trust the people that I love. I mean, obviously she loves Sheena too, but like, so it wasn't that she...
But
wasn't the whole thing that Rachel was going to Schwartz's to hook up with Tom?
Yeah, but also just like, if she's tracking people's locations like this, I don't know. Like, to me, they were clearly together enough that when you start to like see the pattern, be like, they are together all the time, though.
But the problem with that is like, yeah. And that's why she thought that they were having an affair and she took it. So it's like, it's assuming that Sheena had no idea and no assumptions or no instinct. She did have instinct. She was right. They were having an affair and she took it to Ariana and Ariana was like, nothing's going on.
How many people have your location?
Nobody.
Okay.
So. I'm so bad with technology that this was for me. I was like, what? What can you do?
Yeah.
I shared I had another birthday dinner last night. Mm-hmm. And shared a car with a friend who ordered the car and then did like a share look, but I wasn't like, cause I was like, what's happening? And then did the share thing. Was like, I'm going to send it to you or something. And I didn't know what that meant. And then, but I got to see when she got dropped off at home. And obviously, we do the check-in when you get dropped off for safety reasons. Ladies, am I right? But what was the point of what I was saying? Oh, that I got a thing from Uber saying she got dropped off as opposed to her texting me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't used to that. Like, to split a ride and then have Uber let me know. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's great that they like told me that she was dropped off. Not that I would believe Uber. I'd be like, let me just make sure my friend is okay.
Yeah.
But so I don't think of people's that. I don't understand that even a little bit. And that is weird. I wonder if like once a year, people could re-sign some sort of I consent to having you track my movements, because a lot of these people might have forgotten. But for some of them, it sounds like they use it to track stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm always unavailable if certain people invite me to things. I don't need them to know that. Yeah. I'm never going to agree to somebody tracking where I am unless
what
I'm
about
going on a date.
Other?
If I'm going on a no. There should be trust. I don't need, again, do I want to do thing X and Y? What if there's like mutual friends that I dislike? Like, I'm not going to, I have this other thing. No, but I'm not going to lie to that person. I just, you just trust someone that you're with, unless it's a safety issue. Mm-hmm. Like, for women and for many people for different reasons, but certainly for women, there is a safety reason why you might, but I just think that is situational specific. I'm never going to be like, for the rest of my days, you can track my movements. I don't want that. You don't have the right to know where I am.
Is there a thing? I think there's a thing on it when you share that's like for the rest of today or for the like forever sure, or whatever.
Sure, do that. Yeah, but or like if you're going on a trip or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or there's like a week long thing. Maybe it's like a BravoCon thing. Mm-hmm. Like if you have like a press thing and you're just trying to figure out where people are amidst, you know, tens of thousands. But no.
Yeah, I think a pin.
Yeah, drop a, I don't know how to do that. I've never understood how to do it. And I don't understand maps. So like, I can't, I'm not a technologically savvy in that way. And I consider that being savvy. Like, I just can't do it. And also sometimes when like Uber or Lyft and you have to like change where it thinks it's picking you up to the exact spot. I'm like, I can't do that. That's outside of my skill set. I don't know how to do it.
Figure it out. It's your job to find 100%. Me.
You find me and then you tell me what corner you're on and I'll find you unless I'm in heels. Yeah. And then we have a real crisis on our hands because I won't be moving from that spot. But I don't understand it.
Sometimes on the iPhone, if like someone texts you, like, where are you? And you start to type back, it'll be like, send your location or whatever. And like,
no,
like the auto whatever suggestion. I don't know.
Unless I'm lost, which I am frequently because I don't have any, not a single sense of direction.
Yeah. But then, like, if I was meeting you, I'd call you and say, what do you see for landmarks? And then we would figure out how to do
it. Because if you tell me you're on the west side of the street, I'm going to start to scream. Nobody knows what that means. Fair. I'm north, east, side. No. Tell me with words.
We're both west.
Is there what's the monument that we can find?
Great.
So, but maybe people like it. Maybe they use that with each other. Is that like a, and it, does that have anything to do with her anxiety of making sure that people are okay?
I mean.
Because then she's just looking. She's looking for some goss.
Yeah. She was looking for goss. She found it. But what did you, do you really think she would have never brought it up? And why did Brock? Did she tell Brock? Did she tell Brock to be like, bro, you bring this up because I'm not going to?
Well, this is the thing where I'm like, what's happening here? Because she looked genuinely mad at him.
Yeah, I think she was. Was she just like saving it? Like, I just feel like.
I don't think she told him to say it on camera. I don't think she's that kind of.
Why did he?
Because he was like, I have a job to do and I need to get a check for this and I'm currently not being paid, or I wasn't being paid. Like the fact that he's on the couch, I guess, maybe for the whole reunion and Allie is not that's a choice. Again, men heavy. Where are the ladies? We're stacking this couch with a lot of guys, some of whose opinions I don't particularly care about, or at least as much as like Allie's does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me. Yeah.
So I don't know. But I mean, what do you think? Do you think that Sheena was like, talk about this on camera? Or do you think she was really genuinely taken aback?
I don't think she told him to. But it's out of her character to just sit on something like this. So that's why I'm like, huh?
I mean, and wasn't she like into Max?
Yeah.
She was giving him an Apple Watch and stuff. So that's kind of weird. No? Are they just cool? I guess she's like, he's a really good friend. Okay. I mean, she's married with a kid. Like, I get it. But I don't know. It's a little too Big Brother. It's Orwellian to me. It's like 1984, a place I have time and history I have no idea of because I was born so many years later.
Sure,
but like,
sure.
It's just giving me the Big Brother of it all.
I think it goes back to us talking about the people that they date in this group. And again, we're seeing how incestuous this is, that they do just continue to hook up with people in their direct friend group.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I get it. Because if you're Katie and you just truly want a fun night, like, yeah, this is a very safe, easy way to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like a random who may have been at the same party or whatever that you're like, I don't know this
there's
guy.
There's comfort,
and like,
there's trust.
Totally. So I get that.
History.
And he's obviously, I don't think, coming back into the picture of this show because of his previous actions.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was thinking about him just getting fired, but he was fired for
inappropriate.
Racist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Although Kristen's on the Valley. So, I mean, there's room for people to. I think he was probably already heading out the door because he wasn't working on the cast.
Yeah.
Like, let's not give Bravo more credit than it deserves for taking a stand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wonder if it was good. I mean, we're not, nobody's having that conversation. Definitely better than Schwartz. What a bar.
Well, I mean, yeah, but also like,
I feel like it might have been good. Well, fine. Enjoy, you know, fun.
I thought it was okay.
Like, okay plus. I don't know. There's just something about their energies and like, ooh, like, let's have some fun. It could have been fun, I think, maybe. We need to hear from Katie on
yeah.
that. Katie needs to give us
yeah.
some sort of...
I feel happy for Katie.
I need a Fromer's guide to this night. Katie is happy
for Katie. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I just yeah, yeah. feel like, do you?
I just want to know if it got a Yelp review. I'm not saying it's a New York Times critic's pick, but like, tell me about that dick. Like, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need you to draw me a picture, and we've heard way too much about what people are thinking yeah. about Schwartz. Like, I just want to know if it was good. And someone should be asking that question, and I'm a little perturbed that no one has. VPR's a little dirty. Let's like,
yeah.
let's throw some dirt. Like, I just want to yeah. know if it was good. I just want to know if it was good. I don't give a shit about Max.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care at all, and that's great. Like, I don't think of him. I forgot about him. Like, yeah. you know, I'm a little detached from that season or whatever sure, generation of VPR.
Yeah.
But like, just tell me if it was okay. I didn't even know he was really good friends with Schwartz. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, he's like the manager of TomTom or Schwartz. Yeah, but
that doesn't mean
that
they're good friends. I mean,
yeah, but even the fact that he professionally still orbits them was a surprise to me.
Yeah, that is a surprise. Yeah. yeah, he is, I guess, the manager yeah. still. He's not playing one on TV. He's off TV. Yeah. He's doing the job.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was probably okay.
I hope so for her sake.
Oh, 100%. I'm only thinking about it through her.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about it. I don't give a shit about him.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
I mean, sure, he's a nice guy. LOL. Hmm. I don't care. probably not.
I'm not sure, but I don't care. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And he's in that friend circle and isn't that fun. Maybe he could like zoom into the reunion.
Oh.
No, we don't need that.
Yeah. Katie with all sorts
of. Yeah. What's he bringing to the table?
Yeah. Nothing.
So Ariana, word on the street, because it was like announced or whatever, published or whatever, bought a house. Gorgeous. Yeah. 1.something million.
I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet because I do have a lot of feelings about it.
So let's look at me talking about it, bringing it up.
What you do.
So something that I thought was interesting, again, taking him at his word, is that on the after show, which needed to watch, I think it was on the after show, Ariana, did I say Katie before when I meant Ariana? I meant Ariana in the house. I think that's clear.
Okay.
Yeah. Ariana in the after show is talking about the fact that essentially like everyone's taking him at his word that he did this good faith
faith-based
offer, but he didn't even do a fucking appraisal.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think some of his like, oh my God, it was an incredible offer, is probably you can walk out of this maybe with the money that you paid for this, which is not how real estate works. And I also don't think, she was saying that like the language he used was weird, it was inappropriate to send to her, and like it's a letter of intent versus whatever else, and it should be in conversation with her attorney. Like, all that being said, the thing to me that's more important than anything else is like, he doesn't have an appraisal on this, so why are we pretending that he gave her a formal offer? Oh wait, I remember, because it's coming from Tom.
Yeah,
so it's not 100% real.
I have my main overarching feeling about the whole thing, the whole situation that she's in with this house, is you got to do what is right for you. And I don't want to say I support, but I sort of stand by you do you. If she were my friend,
yeah,
which her friends have sort of
right.
done.
No, not even have sort of. Have.
They have done is... Girl, get the fuck out.
Get the
like,
fuck out of the house.
I just the juju alone, just the bad vibes of it all. You are getting paid. You're killing it. You're doing amazing, incredible things. You will make that money. You can buy your own thing. Leave all of that garbage behind and move forward. Like, just, I feel so stressed when I see the two of them
yes.
in that space.
Yes.
I'm like, girl, this is just a reminder, and it's just bad vibes. There is nothing in that house. There is no couch. There is no pool. There is nothing in that house that is worth the bad vibes.
100%. And this is also where the anger conversation comes in of like, you do you, what do you want? And what she wants, I think, is to ensure as much as possible that Tom does not win. But you don't win for the amount of time that you're spending in this house and this the stress it's putting on you and the discomfort and that level of like, not angst, but just that level of mad when you're living in the mad. Mm-hmm. Like, let's deal with the mad. Let's process the mad. Let's feel how we feel about the mad. But to live in it is not great, where you're constantly like, is he in the living room? This is nothing. This is everything to do with people wanting to respect her boundaries and her wanting to respect them. So it's not about not talking to Tom. It's about removing him as much as you can.
Yeah.
But you're both also on this show. And I keep thinking, I keep comparing it to the Jason Hoppe of it all, but I'm not a divorce attorney, let alone real estate, whatever else. And it's not the same thing when you're not necessarily married and it's attached to a divorce thing when it's like establishing residency. But I also understand from her perspective, he's going to make it easier to get what he wants of like, just give me what you want for the furniture. If you're living in a different place and you already have your own stuff, he can lowball you. Mm-hmm. He can lowball you once you're out of the house, but also you're out of the house. Mm-hmm. Are you ever going to win? Is he... why are we trying to make Tom... There's a difference between making Tom feel bad and making him uncomfortable. I am okay with Tom feeling uncomfortable, but you're never going to really successfully make Tom feel bad for the reasons that you dislike him.
Yeah.
So
he's a narcissist. But also, he has to live with himself forever. You don't have to live with him forever. Right. So get the hell out. And also, I mean, it's LA. You can get a furnished place. You know what I mean? You can find a place that is furnished. So we're not even having the conversation about she bought new furniture, she can afford it, I'm keeping this, whatever. Like, we can, there's, I get exactly what you're saying. You don't want him catching you in.
Well, and she wants
whatever,
to be paid for that stuff.
Yeah. And she should be. And so, yeah, I'm glad to see that she has hopefully gotten something else, moving out, leaving all of that behind. Like, leave. There's not a chair in that house that you need to bring with you. Like, leave it all there. Take the pet and go. And like, that's it. Like,
and how does that work though if he can't afford? But that's a him problem. It's like I get why she's, I get the, because she's pushing him to sell. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to sell. He wants to keep the house. I don't know how much of this is, this isn't a criticism. I literally don't know how this is like helping her with that.
I don't want it messing up her credit either.
Well, but then I don't know that they're like underwater or whatever, but then he was taking out mortgages or whatever, right? Allegedly, and I might be fucking some of this up, to like take out loans to pay for other stuff. And also, what's going on? Has he factored in the $250K that he owes his mom? How can you afford this house? You couldn't afford half of this house. Yeah. So how are you going to afford all of it? Again, that's not a me problem. That's a Tom problem. But are you factoring in the money that is owed? Or are you just like, she doesn't care about it, she'll let it go? I get that she's your mother, but like, she's your mother.
Yeah.
Pay the woman back.
I mean, you know, will we ever make sense of any of the choices he has or continues to make?
And it's a bad time to sell. I don't know that Ariana's going to make any money or profit on this. I mean, it's not a great time, I think, for real estate in California or in LA specifically.
I mean, if they're smart, they're getting Josh Flagg on this so that he sells it. And then we have the crossover of all of it. But
I mean, I don't know if it was Josh Flagg. I think Josh Altman.
Either.
I need Josh. I think it's too. I don't think it's. Josh Flagg does like. Well, so does Altman. They do like $30 million.
Yeah, but they also throw in a, here's a house that's less expensive, but there's a story.
And also, let me be on TV.
And let me tell you on TV about this owner. You know what I mean?
Put Tracy Tudor on it.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Yeah.
Like,
hell yeah.
Get Tracy Tudor energy in that space.
Because she'll want the most for Ariana. So yeah.
Hell yeah, she will. And she's also, they're all fucking pros. Like, that's the nice thing about Million Dollar Listing is like, everybody is good at their job. And I appreciate that, because that hasn't always been the case.
I love Million Dollar Listing LA. I don't know if it's still a thing, but I think
I'm at least a full season behind. Mm. Maybe I'm like 5 seasons behind. Mm. I really don't remember, but I am still a fan, even though I don't like actually watch it. But I
love it because I like to see the LA homes because they feel so fantastical. Like, I'm just like, oh, that's crazy. Fantasy. Whereas like the New York ones, I'm like, oh wait, I live two blocks away from there, and but this is what I could be having. No, it's too stressful.
I mean, but it's a depressing fantasy of like, wow, we have very different universes and worlds from those avenues.
Yeah.
Just a couple short blocks away.
I thought having laundry in the basement was a perk, and then you see a building that has a pool in the basement. You're like, never mind.
And I fucking love my laundry room, which has been closed for over a month. And they just now, and I find all these fucking quarters, and they shifted to a card system with a credit card. Mm-hmm. And then I looked it up on the app store, and it has like all super extremely negative reviews. So I'm thinking we're just getting fucked in a different way right now. I mean, just clean my dirty laundry. My God, it's my favorite thing to do.
Wow.
I love it. It brings me zen. I love doing laundry. So VPR, the Lala of it all, how are we feeling about Lauren?
I mean,
of late,
as far as,
well, Andy said in that promo video, or maybe a different one, that she's the voice of reason. I do sense reason with her. I definitely do. I'm confused what's going on with the four ladies. I'm confused about Lala and Sheena, I guess, not versus, but like maybe.
Kinda. Yeah.
Ariana and Katie. Like the Sheena Ariana of it all, I'm confused by. I don't understand what's going on.
I think Ariana can have her point of view and stand her ground, because it is, even though it's a year, it's still... Well, now it's a year, and while they're
right,
what we're watching was not
3
a year.
3 months later when they started, something around there.
She's gonna still be in her feels about it, and I think that's fine. And I think Katie is certainly somebody who's like, I'm also standing this ground because I don't give an F. Like, I don't care. She's moved on from anger or people pleasing or whatever. Whereas Sheena and Ariana have not and will not ever move on from anger stuff, people pleasing stuff, wanting
Ariana?
Everyone to like them. Sorry, Lala and Sheena.
But I don't think that Lala is super concerned with people pleasing stuff.
No,
I think Lala's arguing the anger thing. But she's now arguing that she's working on that. Look, which I
yeah, that's
believe.
What I'm saying. Her thing is, she wants,
who's the she?
Lala wants to be friends with everybody because she doesn't want to have anger towards anyone.
Got it.
Sheena wants to be friends with everybody because she wants everyone to like her.
Got it.
And so those are the two things they're dealing with. Ariana has no interest in Sandoval. And Katie also has no interest in Sandoval. So that is going to cause that divide between the group. Just naturally. We have seen the women, for the most part, be pretty united for a while.
Yeah.
So, again, this is a cycle of this show where we're going to see some sort of disagreement. How severe that is, I don't know. I guess we're finding out. But
allegedly relationship ruining between Lala and Ariana at the tail end of the reunion. But I don't even understand how things got to that point. I don't. My instinct is like, whatever happened, I don't know.
I don't see Ariana budging from the, if you want to go be friends with him, that's fine, but you won't be friends with me. And I think Lala and Sheena are choosing to, they're trying to play both sides, but it's like, Ariana, I think, is going to make people choose.
Well, and the other part of that is Lala feels like Ariana has not been a good friend to Sheena and is going to defend her, but also fight some of those battles, regardless of whether Sheena wants that to take place.
And I think it's the dancing of the stars with it all too, of like, we're seeing everything that was coming to Ariana last summer, whether it's a commercial or Dancing with the Stars, whatever, and things obviously continue to come to her.
Love Island, Jesus, that's a big
deal. I'm jealous of that one. I'm jealous of that one. And so, you know, I think for Lala, for Sheena, Sheena's always going to be Sheena, and Sheena's going to say, I want Dancing with the Stars, and like, that's how she's going to be. But Lala is going to say, well, I just went through a really traumatic breakup too, and I'm not getting all of these offers the way that she is. So I think there's a little bit of comparison happening there, that it's maybe hard for them to be completely happy for their friend that like, she's reaping all of this from a shitty situation. I don't know.
I don't know how much of it is about that. I mean, it could be. And also, the why can't we I don't know, maybe not be so mad. I don't know. It really, the Ariana Sheena of it all is like a little perplexing, because we were led to believe, or did believe, or maybe some of us didn't believe, that they were genuinely really, really good friends. We've seen that since the beginning. So this stuff, it's like, I don't know that I buy, and that's not having anything to do with your argument, but just like, I don't know that I buy in the world that this is happening because Ariana is getting opportunities that Sheena is not.
No, I don't think it's something, that's the sole reason.
I think there's something deeper here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if it has to do with Sheena forgiving Tom. I don't know.
Part of it, I'm sure, does.
There's also a difference between forgiving this person and wanting to be their friend. And I just can't get past, maybe this is just me, but like, I don't know that if it happened to a good friend of mine and it happened in a friend circle and I was friends with, if it was a relationship between a man and a woman and I'm me, and it's like going on in a friend circle and maybe I came to this dynamic, I don't remember the order of events of who Sheena became friends with first when it comes to Tom and Ariana, but like, I don't see coming back from that. You can do bad things. I just think I would think about my friend who was betrayed, yeah. But also so much of Sheena's argument of wanting to be friends with Tom is giving him the benefit of the doubt. And it's like, do you really want to have another toxic person in your life who's like this? Like, it's not just about what he did. What he did is an example of who he is. It doesn't mean you have to be defined by a bad act. It doesn't mean you have to be living in a place of shame forever. Like, that's been an interesting part of the conversation with VPR, but also like, why aren't we believing that this is him? Why would you want to be friends with someone like that? You could never trust them again.
Yeah.
When has he ever earned your trust that didn't come with a not asked for, you know, Venmo thing? Like, he's giving you money as a sign of, you know, that's a great thing that he did. And also it's a great thing that he did, you know, it's, I'm not understanding here what you see in him that we do not. Some of us do not.
Most of us do not.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess because like, he's in the circle, so Brock's going to see him, blah, blah, blah. But right. Like, I would feel like, okay, I could be cordial around you, but I wouldn't be ever going out of my way to hang out with you and be your friend again. Like, I'm just trying to think of all my friends, husbands and boyfriends, and I can't think of a single one I would ever stay in touch with if they broke up. And like, again, I know she was friends with Sandoval before she was friends with Ariana. So like, I get that that's the main friendship, but I just, what's he bringing? Like, how is he
puts
like
him at the door?
I literally said, what's he bringing in here?
They buzz every apartment and it's like, never for me.
Yeah. Is he such a fun friend that you just like need this fun in your life? Like,
I mean, she loves him. That's the thing. She loves him. He's meant a lot to her in her life. Who am I to disregard it? But the thing is that Ariana's telling you have to make a choice. So how much of this is, I don't want you to choose for me who I get to be friends with? I don't know. You lose Ariana in that.
See, to me, like, okay, so he Venmo'd you, whatever. But like, now if I needed money and I'm Sheena, Ariana could Venmo me if she wanted to. I know she's got it. And so it's just like, who is actually going to be there for you? And I think she thinks the answer to that is Sandoval, when in actuality, the answer is Ariana.
Well, he's certainly more available than Ariana is. So Sheena wants to get back to a point where she has someone to confide in. Maybe she feels like she's already going to lose Ariana a little bit because Ariana's doing all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom's going to be available to her. He is always going to be available to her. And he has a vested interest in being a quote unquote good friend.
Yes.
Because he's going to want her on his side.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of that has to do with the show. I'm sure it does. But it also is like off camera stuff.
Well, that's why I look forward to that discussion that they have where she says, are we friends just because the cameras are on? And he looks stunned. But I am interested in where that goes.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot to talk about. We didn't even talk about the kiss.
We didn't.
Which, it went from a makeout to a kiss to a,
he cornered me? Like,
and Sheena said on the after show, she's like, it wasn't that he was like, it wasn't something like he was being aggressive, but he also didn't ask me for consent. It was just like he went for it. It wasn't like a bachelor, like, can I kiss you now? It was like he thought there would, if he thought there was a vibe, or maybe he was just hoping there would become a vibe, he kissed her and she was like, no, no, thank you, please.
Also, like when it came up on the after show, I believe this is where it was, and they were like, okay, so Schwartz and Sheena made out, and he goes, allegedly, and I'm like, bro, you are the one that said it. Like, you can't pretend like you didn't say it. And I how does this not come up in a marriage?
He was just saying it to throw someone in there for TV. I mean, that was to me a produce move.
I also get why Sheena didn't say anything.
Totally.
I get it.
Well,
I get why she didn't. I don't know. I'm not saying it was the right thing, but I get why she didn't. And I do believe, because I do believe this was at a time when like things were very rocky.
Yeah. That's
and
true.
So she didn't want to be completely ostracized from the group because her actual job at Sur and job on the show probably depended on it.
Further ostracized. She's already feeling ostracized. Yeah.
So I do get why it didn't. And then I just think it was, oh, well, now they're married and it's too late.
Right.
I don't want to get kicked out of the bridal party. I don't want to get all of it. So I just think she probably forgot about it, or hoped it would go away forever and just wouldn't ever be a thing. Like, is she mad at him for bringing it up? Because I would be mad at him for bringing it up and putting her in that position.
I don't know. I assume she would be.
I will also say I think Katie handled it very well in her discussion with Sheena about it.
It was a weird moment, to be honest. And then the trailer was like leading it up to be a big thing. Mm. It didn't feel like a, it was more of like a, wait, like a what happened?
Yeah, why
versus
are we
a
talking
like
about
huge.
This?
Ground shaking thing that changes the friendship forever, that for friend circle forever. That was not how I felt from that. I was just kind of a little uncomfortable about it.
Yeah. And I also like, how would I feel if I was finding out about it as Katie now? And while I would be pissed, I would also be like, I don't care about that guy in that way anymore. And like,
This is
another reason.
This is why I'm divorced.
Yes.
This is why I'm not married to this man.
Yes.
Because these are his instincts.
Yeah.
Versus Katie's face when she realized that Sheena was like tracking Max's movements, and her face of like, how do I react to this? Uh-huh. And obviously, I don't think she had told Ariana. Ariana looked honestly surprised. Like, nobody knew what was happening. Lala was actually kind of funny when she was like, what's going on? Like, she fucked Max. Like, what's happening? That. Katie in that moment's like, there's a fucking camera crew here right now.
Katie, it was
how's this story gonna go?
It was, you can see, hear, and feel all the wheels working.
Totally.
As she was like, all right, how am I gonna play this? And I like the little twisted, kind of like crooked smile that she kind of has in the moment of like, okay, I see what you're doing. Whereas if you think of what a tequila Katie would have done in that situation versus adult Katie is very.
Yeah.
There's so much more juice to the adult Katie, whereas tequila Katie would have just flipped out and it would have just been.
And just would have been mean.
Yeah. It would have just been too much for what the situation actually was, which was just, oh God, can I just have a night?
You need to come back. We need to do another double tip because. Yeah. I mean, we're double tipping the tables here because this was really a lot of fun. And there's so much that's going to happen in the upcoming season with Summer House and VPR that you need to be back.
I didn't do my tagline.
What was your Vanderpump Rules themed tagline for tip?
You can track my location, but you can't pin me down.
That was a good one, right? I felt really proud of myself writing that one.
I'm
really
so
proud of myself.
Upset that I didn't think about that for an upcoming AG. That's one of
those things where I'm like, no, I'm not going to take it. And I've already done 9 million of them. So like,
I wasn't going to say you could take it. I was going to say you can just play me saying it on any other episode.
Thank you. And I appreciate that clarity.
I have one last thing before we go that was in my notes that I did just need to bring up, which is that Allie saying, I really want James to curl my hair for me
was funny.
I mean, I just, it was a thing that I didn't know I also needed, but now I'm like, I do.
And she
need.
Was being funny. She was making a joke.
But I think she meant it.
No, I thought she said she was joking.
I mean it.
Oh, okay. I'm into it. Whatever.
I
want Allie to be okay.
Same. And I want James to be okay. I want the two of them to be okay together.
I think a little bit about the conversation that, and Paige is older than Allie is. I actually don't know how old Allie is, but she feels a little young to me, albeit, you know, wise and emotionally mature. But I think of what Paige said, and she got into this more in the Summer House After show of like, I don't want a man to have that kind of financial control of me. Yeah. And I see Allie, and you know what, she and James are telling us that they're happy, and I'm glad that they're happy. And the drinking stuff with James, what we weren't told, I think tells us a lot. But they're living in a house. I don't know if she's contributing at all, but it's his house. Mm. And it's his house. He deserves for it to be his house. But I just, from a financial imbalance perspective, this is where we get into sometimes tricky territory, because it doesn't mean that a woman needs to be making as much money as her partner, regardless of who that is, in order to feel secure and safe. But I just don't want her to be in a position where she doesn't. She has limited options, but also she's on a TV show. So yeah. And she's doing her astrology and stuff.
I think she's savvy and I'm not worried about her.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
good.
How I feel about that.
And listen, let that be. That's one of the things that my dad told me. There were two big things, and I wrote about this in a Daily Beast piece, but there were two things he told me one day riding around in a car in Providence going past the Big Blue Bug is like, you know, make sure you're not financially dependent on a man, because he'd seen enough from like litigating divorces, and learn to play golf.
Oh.
I didn't, but I want to. And I'm watching Full Swing season two. I interviewed... For last season, I interviewed the executive producer and Joel Damon for a piece for the Daily Beast, which was great.
And might just say, I'm sure you talked about it on here, but for anyone that didn't, that missed that episode, if you haven't watched Full Swing on Netflix, I can't recommend it more for people who like Bravo, because the stories are compelling.
Yep.
You'll fall in love with so many of these guys and their wives and their families. And their coaches and whoever, like,
you won't fall in love with PGA right now. I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's its own thing. That's its own situation. But I was watching it, and my dad was like, "Why are you watching this?" And I was like, "The stories." But also, I love men that play golf. So just an FYI to any of them.
Well,
listening.
That explains Austin.
Yeah. Now I have more of an understanding.
It explains the Charleston connection to him.
I love that. But also, truly, if you are somebody who identifies as a heterosexual couple, I find that it's a great thing that you can like watch together. Like I always recommend.
From a gender norm perspective.
Yeah. Like,
but women love sports.
That absolutely.
But we also know reality TV storytelling.
We do.
Better than most.
I recommend it to really anyone, because I do think it's just a fun show to watch. And you don't have to love golf, but you will like it.
And I wrote about that for the Daily Beast.
Amazing.
And I previously wrote about the ways that the F1 show, Drive to Survive on Netflix, is perfect for Bravo TV fans.
Yes.
So I cast Drive to Survive from the Housewives universe. Mm. And then after it got published, texted my editor, because I was like, you know what, I think I need to like adjust one of the housewives, because I was thinking about it so much in terms of the drivers and the team managers. I think I fucked that word up, but I love narrative storytelling. I love sports storytelling. I do not watch a single sport, not a single sport. But I love it. I haven't seen the most recent Drive to Survive. I think it's season, did 6 just come out or was it 5? I forget. But and I'm just started Full Swing season 2, but it's great. They're both on Netflix. There's also Breakpoint about tennis. Mm-hmm. I think that's on the list of like top 3. Drive to Survive first, then Full Swing, then Breakpoint. But Full Swing's, it's some good stuff. And if you've been following in real time what's going on with PGA and LIV, it's a fucking shit show. And last year, PGA had the benefit of a morality campaign, which a lot of people agreed with, myself included. And this year, it's just about the Bucks. Yeah. And the PGA, I forget his fucking name, Joe something or other.
Sure.
Joe ill-fitting suits guy feels like a real dick. And the way that he...
threw Rory under the bus.
Rory, but also all the other golfers who for moral reasons and also reasons associated with wanting to continue on the PGA Tour, were in a position where they were turning down at least tens of millions of dollars because they didn't want it to be funded by the folks behind LIV. And also they wanted to stay on the PGA Tour. And they were told if you went to LIV that you would be expelled. So this is a whole thing between, this is like a whole, there are so many thought pieces, think pieces around it. You do not need to like golf to like this show. Mm-hmm. And also there's an interesting conversation I had in that, again, a Daily Beast piece about the ways that men's vulnerability on reality TV is often rewarded and cared for in ways that women's are not, and judged on a different scale, including most especially by women viewers. So
you're so smart.
I am not, but it was a great time. And also it was interesting in talking to Chad, who is the executive producer, about it, because I was, you know, they knew the pitch obviously when I signed on, and they were very, very lovely to work with, and the people with Netflix and everyone. But it was interesting to ask him questions specifically about the gender construct of it all, because he's like, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
And so that was really interesting to think about someone who's responsible for storytelling in this way and bringing a different perspective that he hadn't considered, which I really appreciated.
You're so smart.
I'm not smart. Oh, no, I'm not doing the thing of discounting myself. Yeah, let's not do that. I am smart. Yeah.
And I like to write. Because then you're invalidating my opinion / facts, and we don't want to do that either.
You know what?
It's women supporting
women. It is women supporting women. And someone who's a boss and a mentor would tell me that, because she would be like, you know, we worked on so many shows together that I produced, galas, and she was like, you're doing great, blah, blah, blah. And I would constantly minimize myself. And she's like, what you're actually doing is like disrespecting the gift that I'm giving you of appreciating you. And you're like invalidating my opinion at points too, which I was like, oh, fuck. But I still do it. Of like, I did it at dinner last night. Of like, I'm dumb. I do whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's, I just want to be able to.
You just have to say thank you, even though I know it comes across as a very mean girl's, oh, so you believe it. But you just have, if somebody compliments you, you just say thank you.
But I also want to own it, in the words of.
Yeah, the minimum is thank you.
Yeah, but and internal, then, the internal work is harder. Mm-hmm. And it is challenging for women to be like, I get to own being successful or smart. For some women, I don't want to say all of them, but like even in a conversation with women, it's like the constant, I'm challenged to minimize myself, to feel smaller so that world can continue on. I don't even know. But thank you. I appreciate that. I am smart.
Thank you. You are.
Thank you. As are you. And speaking of all things ladies, last day of the month, and this is something that may not have seemed apparent because I also did do a bunch of solo episodes, but I made a conscious decision before the month of March, Women's History Appreciation History Month, to have women's voices exclusively on Andy's Girls and Tip this month. So every episode of AG and Tip, which does also include several solo episodes, was women's voices as guest co-hosts. So I don't think I remembered enough to do that when I was booking apps, but I always forgot to say Happy Women's History, Women's Appreciation History Month.
Wow.
So since this is, you know, end of March, I guess no more ladies ever again. Somebody else is going to host this pod, but I did just want to
bring back the dudes already.
If we've learned anything from that Austin episode, we need to have a little more care. Just kidding. So, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, there's larger complicated conversations about this, but also like I do focus as a woman content creator on the lens of not only how majority women focus reality TV, not meaning the audience itself, although the audience is overwhelmingly women, but just like majority cast women television. Mm. I'm so appreciative to have this platform and have listeners, because I think it's so important when we're talking about women's storytelling to include women in that conversation, especially in the ways that we are potentially judging or criticizing or just sharing our perspectives and our takes. And I'm really, really thankful to the AGs and that, to everyone that I hear from who might agree with my opinion or not, but are here to, you know, listen and participate in this conversation. And I'm thankful to the women that I have in my life, who I'm so fortunate to have. And I'm thankful to you as a woman writer, as a woman content creator, as a woman producer and host, and so much more. Like, I'm so thankful. I have a lot of good fortune in doing this podcast. And I'm reminded of that in moments like this, where I really genuinely wanted to make sure that women are at the center of the conversation, because I just think that is so important. And if there's one thing I can do that I literally almost forgot to mention at the very end of the month, that this is the thing that was a conscious decision to make. So
I care so much about women. I forgot to even talk about
them. But we're always talking about them. And we are women. So that's the inherent, you know.
I love it. I'm thankful for you. And since this is the last day of the month, tomorrow's the first. And you know, feel it on the first. Ladies, do your self exams so that we all.
What?
Yeah. Feel it on the first. You do your self breast exams on the first of the month. So you
know where you were going with that.
Yep. So we always remember to do them. And we want to keep everyone healthy and happy for a really long time.
Do you know where people can access the best ways to do a self guide?
Oh.
We're checking for lumps and things?
Yeah. Google it.
Yeah.
Essentially that. I see a lot of like Instagram accounts and stuff that are like reminders and great. Tell you how to do it. I couldn't tell you any of those accounts because they do exist.
If there's a place where I know I'm going to get valid information, it's going to be Instagram. Mm-hmm. No, but that's great. And shout out also to genuinely to content creators who are focusing on this. Just making a larger joke. But feel it. I feel it on the first. I've never heard that before.
Oh, see? I'm so glad you know it. And you'll live it.
Listen, normalize changing your mind based on new information. It's not that I'm changing my mind. I'm just hearing a new phrase. Yeah. And look at that. Mm-hmm. Now I can change my mind from, I don't know what that means, to I do.
Yeah.
What a success.
Truly.
We've recorded for 18 hours. This was such a fucking delight.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm so glad. Not a lot of Austin. And I think that people are going to react well to this conversation.
Oh, no, they'll find something.
Including on social.
It's okay.
And listen, people have every right to disagree. But hopefully in some of those disagreements, you know, we're finding some spaces to listen at points and sit in some discomfort. That's okay, too. And of course, people have every right to feel how they feel.
Where can people follow you?
People can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley and join the Andy's Girls Patreon. Number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes like a supersized satchel spectacular that includes your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Bravo and more. So listen to that episode and join the Patreon at patreon.com/AndyScrolls. Again, number one way to support the pod. And Leah Palmieri, where can people follow you and hear more of these wonderful takes?
Wow. They can follow me on Instagram at Little Leap, LittleLeap.
Like love a that.
Tiny little frog hopping along. Little Leap.
I was going to think of a little bunny.
Oh, yeah. Easter. Bunny.
Yeah.
Bunny.
And speaking of Easter, happy Easter to anyone who is celebrating the day with you yourself, with your families, with your loved ones, with your friends. I hope you have a happy and healthy Easter weekend. And this was a fun little Easter. They have fun little Easter eggs spread throughout this episode.
There really are.
So Thank you, Jesus. I mean, God bless. Guys, thanks again for listening. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.